Hey, and welcome to episode 15 of Superhero Speak. This one is just Ben and I. And why is it just Ben and I? Because John, he was at a Taylor Swift concert. Yeah, that's right, Taylor Swift. So, Ben and I sat down and talked about some comic book news. A lot of different things coming out of Marvel lately, and a couple things out of DC. Like, did you know Harley Quinn's getting her own comic book? Kind of cool. Also, on Teen Titans, they had one of our favorite team-ups, the Wonder Twins, so of course we had to talk about it. Also, we tried a new segment. We don't know how long we're going to keep it, but Tech Corner, we talked about the new Samsung Mega coming out. So this episode is John and Taylor together forever, and here we go.
So,
hey, we just got like 3 new Twitter followers while all that mess was going on.
Nice.
Peter Parker is following us.
Ah.
Oh, no. We're in trouble now.
Depends on which version it is.
It's the Doc Ock version. I just can feel it.
Yes. I started reading that, by the way, because the Superior Spider-Man issue 1 became available through Marvel Unlimited. So I gave it a try.
And?
It's interesting. It's a different version of him, but I can't... See, here's the thing. The way that they're casting him, the way they're depicting him, I can't picture them keeping that as long-term continuity for him, because I think you're supposed to hate him. I think you're supposed to dislike him and expect him to fail.
Right.
You know? So... And well, I don't know why we're talking about this if we're not recording this yet.
Well,
so,
we are recording. The Skype just records the whole time we're on.
Well, okay.
But we didn't officially start yet.
All right.
So should we officially start?
Let's officially start. And I do have a little bit of an opener I can throw out there if you want.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak. I'm your host, Dave.
And this is Ben.
And this week, we don't have... our good friend John with us because he is out seeing Taylor Swift with his teenage daughter, and we wish him all the best of luck with that.
I wish that was a made-up story that we could be using as an excuse.
No, that's the real story.
I know.
And speaking of stories, I heard you had one to kick the show off with.
I do have a brief one to talk about, and it's with my daughter, and it's related to Beware the Batman. Which I'm actually in the process of working on probably by the time this airs, it'll already be up, a Kitty Corner post about Beware the Batman that should be up shortly with my thoughts on the show. But we've been watching the show, 2 episodes out so far, and, you know, there's an interesting setup, but long story short, there's this female character they've introduced that at the end of the... second episode, there's sort of this tease that she's sort of being drawn into Batman's world a little bit deeper. And the first episode, you see her meeting up with Alfred, and she's riding on this motorcycle that's red with a yellow stripe and has these little wings on the side. And I say to my daughter, like, you see what's going on there? And she's like, no, what? And she's 9. I don't expect her to pick up on these details. I was like, well... he's kind of inviting her in to his circle. He's, you know, and did you notice the motorcycle she was driving before? And she's like, no. And I described it. And she's like, so it's got the wings like a bird. And all of a sudden she had this, like, you know, nerd squee face. And she's like, girl, Robin, they're changing stuff. She was so excited. Like when it all clicked in her head. So anyway, that was amusing.
What was the female character's name?
I do not recall. She's Asian. She has long black hair. And I want to say, when I looked at stuff on IMDb, I think they listed an alternate name for her of Katana. But I don't know what the canon is for that.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's an Asian name. So okay. They're not drawing from any of the... you know, former Robin characters that existed.
Right, right. Because there was a female. There were actually two female. Well, if you count the Dark Knight Returns, there were two female Robins. So yeah, right. But interesting. Yeah, the no Asian dark haired Robin.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, there was the blonde Stephanie Brown, I want to say.
Yes.
That was supposedly killed and later came back as the new Huntress, I want to say.
Right.
And then later as a version of a Batgirl, I think, now. And then there was, the Dark Knight Returns version, which was the short, orange-haired one, who I can't remember her name.
You can't kill Robin. He's always going to come back.
That's true. And they always do. I mean, you look at now, the Batman family is huge. There's like, you know, every one of them around and just as different characters, and it's weird. I mean, it's not weird, but it can seem weird if someone's just getting introduced to it.
Right.
So anyway, I digress. So then we can move on to other topics. Do you have anything where you want to start today?
well, let's see. I was watching, speaking of cartoons,
yes.
Not too long ago, and I had posted an article about the Teen Titans Go.
Yes.
Where AKA I realized I became...
Stop.
I'm sorry, say that again?
AKA Teen Titans Stop.
Yes. I realized that I was the old person and I wasn't the target for this stuff anymore.
Yes.
But in the episode was the Wonder Twins.
Yes, and I did see this recently because my kids love it and they're eating it up. And it is kind of hilarious. But
yeah. I have to say, I really smiled at that episode. My son didn't get it because he wasn't around.
Right, they weren't around to appreciate that. You know, that's the nod back to our childhood and the characters we grew up with.
Yes, but it was a funny episode too because what are their names again?
Jan and Zan, I want to say.
Right, right, and Beast Boy decides to leave the team. And so they're looking for his replacement, and since Jan can turn into all these different animals, they're like, "Oh, you're perfect." But Zan's like, "Well, we're a team, like we're a package deal. You have to take both of us because our powers don't work without the other." So they made him the receptionist.
Yes.
Power.
Shape of a receptionist.
Yes, that was a stroke of brilliance, I think, on the writer's part.
So. Yeah, that was pretty smart on their part. But it was also pretty funny. Every time that they were in a situation, Jan had to run back to Teen Titans headquarters to activate her powers and then run back out.
Yes. I think, you know, they should have just done that on Super Friends, too, but... Shape of a bucket of water! What?
Yeah, they really did get kind of hokey with that from time to time. So.
But staying with the DC... I don't know if you saw this news or not, but Harley Quinn is actually going to get her own ongoing series and comics now. Yeah,
nice. What kind of, is she? Sort of an anti-hero, or what's her stance at this with that? Then,
let's see. Well, because I have to be honest, I'm not a huge DC reader, Let's see, the Suicide Squad book has Harley spending time with her other heroes and bad guys. So she's on the Suicide Squad, apparently, currently.
Okay.
Which I think is, you know, probably, what's the Marvel equivalent where it's all villains being good guys?
Yeah, sort of like the Dark Avengers kind of thing.
Right, right. Let's see. There's not a lot of information on this.
Yeah.
Joker's part of her life, and she... Oh, wait. But will we see... Okay, so who's... I'm sorry. Let me back up a second here. Palamati, talked about this in a recent interview. And Jimmy Palamati. And, So they basically said... that's what they were saying. The Suicide Squad book, as Harley spending most of her time with the other heroes and bad guys, this book will focus on Harley and her life, where she lives and how she functions, as well as her motivations and solo adventures.
Huh.
I don't know. Do you think she's that popular of a character that she deserves her own book?
Well, I think she is that popular of a character because she has sort of, you know, because she was not originally a comic book character. She was actually devised for one of the Batman cartoons as sort of a character to play off of, sort of a sidekick to the Joker. But she was a very interesting character and has become a well-developed character. And I think between that and her, she played a big part in the Arkham games that have come out recently in consoles. So I guess they're probably playing off of that popularity to try to, gain some more readership in the Suicide Squad type thing, title. Which I did look up, and it is sort of, it's a team of imprisoned supervillains who perform high-risk missions for the U.S. government in exchange for commuted sentences. So, they're basically prisoners, imprisoned hero or imprisoned villains who are sort of doing good for the sake of not being in prison as long.
Right, and then, of course, they were asked, is the Joker going to be in the series? And the answer was, the Joker's part of our life, and he will still be. We will be looking at their relationship and other things along the way. So, you know, they'll be throwing the Joker in for us.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I don't know how he would fit with that. Like, I'm sure, obviously, that he fits in her life, but I can't imagine he would join up in the team. He's a bit of a wild card.
Right.
No pun intended.
But and the thing is, you don't want to play too heavily on that because you don't want it becoming another Batman book. You want it to be a Harley Quinn book.
True. Right. You want it to sort of stand alone.
Yeah, so I kind of hope that, you know, they focus just on her. Though she is a popular character, I guess, and the more I think about it, because she's highly cosplayed at all the conventions I get to.
Yeah. Well, I think she's highly coveted from a costume perspective, there's a lot of, you know, that people like the way that she tends to be illustrated. But also because she has accessible costumes. Like, they're things that are easy to replicate, but they're also colorful and interesting. And also, everyone likes to play a little bit on the bad side from time to time.
Well, that's true. We all have a little bad in us, I think, right?
A little bit.
Moving on, comic news. The other thing out of Marvel, the news out of Marvel, sorry. The Marvel Knights imprint is returning.
Yeah, I never really read that much personally, so I'm not thoroughly familiar with what the Marvel Knights series is or what their theme is.
They're usually what they would call, they're kind of like prestige pieces. That's what DC does. They're pieces that are written and drawn by sought after writers and artists, and they're usually standalone series.
Okay.
Like a four-part series, a three-part series.
Right. So a little mini series arc that stands outside of other continuities.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's actually one that I have with Daredevil and Spider-Man that I really liked. It was really well written, and it was interesting because it dealt mainly with Daredevil's villains, and I've never read a lot of Daredevil before that, and so there was like Stiltman and a couple other villains I didn't really know a lot about, you know.
Yeah.
It was more like a Daredevil story where Spidey came and helped.
And, that's interesting.
It was really well written. I know most of the Marvel Knights books have been well reviewed and really liked, so it'll be interesting to see if it says in the article what the Hulk is one of the first. Hulk and X-Men are the first two that they're going to be coming out with.
Nice.
So, separate stories. So,
yeah.
Bram Revel and Chris Peter are one of five. Oh, it's a five-part series. Is the X-Men, and then there's no information on the Hulk one yet. So.
Yeah. Along the lines of the Hulk, though, actually, I did have a a note of something with that. I started reading. There's a new Hulk comic that's come out in the recent past called Indestructible Hulk. And I'm not sure if you're aware of the story arc there. But basically the idea is, you know, the Hulk has sort of been in and out, you know, often on the outs, you know, either being chased down by, you know, General Ross, occasionally tied into the Avengers, but not always on good terms with the, you know, people within it or with the public, or with S.H.I.E.L.D. And in this storyline, the idea is that the Hulk wants to, or Bruce Banner wants to, you know, do good. He wants to be useful. You know, and, you know, looking, you know, introspectively at, like, other people of his level of genius, like Tony Stark and Reed Richards, they've, you know, they've accomplished all of this technology and enhancements and advancements and things like that. And he hasn't, because he's constantly been fighting with, you know, his dual personality. So he basically, you know, had been off the map, and they've been trying to hunt him down, but basically shows up in the diner, you know, where Maria Hill is, and says, "Hey, I got a deal for you. You get the Hulk as a tool to use where you need to, and then you give me a lab to invent things to help humanity." So, you know, we sort of, you know, have that duality to it. And they sort of set it up, and that's pretty interesting how it's... I've only read two issues, and I don't think there are very many out so far. But it is a pretty interesting series, and I have actually read somewhere that, I think it's just a rumor at this point, that they may actually use that idea for another Hulk movie within the Marvel continuity.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
It's probably just rumor at this point because...
Sure. Raphael, they've got a lot on their plates.
What's his name? Raphael.
Ruffalo.
He, in a recent interview, I heard him say that, as far as he knows, there's no plans for another solo Hulk movie.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because...
It is, because people like the Hulk. And, you know, despite the... Because I think the testament to the fact that people like the Hulk is the fact that, you know, there was some degree of popularity with the second Hulk movie after people saw the first Hulk movie and were able to forgive it. And let it pretend it didn't exist. So, you know, people can identify with the Hulk.
Right. No, and he did an excellent job. I think he told more of a Hulk story in the little bit of screen time in a team movie than was told in the other two movies combined, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, it definitely revealed a lot about the Bruce Banner persona, and his duality and his fight with that. And yeah, I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best line of all time was, "I'm always angry."
Yeah, that was well played.
Yeah. All right, let's see. What else did we have in the news here? This one I thought was kind of interesting. We mentioned this briefly in the J.G. Jones interview while you were working. Amazon has unveiled their own comic imprint. And it is called Jet City. And it's interesting because... the authors and artists they had lined up with for it so far weren't your typical comic book people.
Okay.
In fact, it's starting with comics that were written by George R.R. Martin, which I'm sure people know. He was the guy who wrote Game of Thrones.
He's written a thing or two that people are aware of.
Yeah. So. Hugh Howey, which I don't know that name. Neil Stephenson.
Stevenson.
And starting with the first publication is Synapsum, S-Y-N-P-O-S-I-U-M.
Symposium.
Symposium. There you go. First version.
Some of us can read.
Comic. Yeah. So, it's interesting. I actually went to Amazon and looked it up and was checking out. One of the things that struck me, and it makes sense because it's Amazon, but everything was digital.
Yeah.
I couldn't say, send me a print of this.
Right. Right. It's digital only.
And it just kind of made me think, is it's interesting, and is that the direction things are going to go?
Well, so do they have any of these published now?
Yeah, or like I said, that Symposium number one is out. This article was actually from July 9th.
Yeah.
And it was launched as of that date, so...
How much are they charging per issue at this point?
It was like $4.99, $5.99. Your typical, you know, cover price.
I guess so. It seems a little high for a digital, but I, you know, if it's my only concern would be for that price, because I want to say that they tend to run a little lower than that from time to time, but I'm not in a comic shop every day, so I could be wrong.
Here we go. Here's George R. R. Martin's. I just brought it up. George R. R. Martin's Meat House Man. That's $2.99.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and then Symposium. See, now, I looked the other day when I originally looked up the article.
Yeah.
That was more. That went down to 99 cents.
Wow.
But then there's The Hedge Knight, which is $7.99, but that's a graphic novel. I'm not
sure. Ah, so you're getting more content for that price.
And then Wool is $4.99. I mean, there's quite a few here, but that's the other issue is I don't know anything about these.
Right.
You know?
Right, they're unknown characters, unknown stories. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, and you know, we've said it on the show several times, you got to give new ideas and new characters a chance. And hopefully people will, and they'll gain an audience.
True, but...
But the question is, will this become sort of, you know, a comic equivalent to, like, Netflix original programming? Or is this just going to be... Is this just another... avenue for them to try to monopolize more of the publishing industry and take it digital. You know, we'll see how, like, you know, from a business perspective, are they really gonna foster works that are, you know, interesting and different, or are they gonna, you know, are they just in it for a quick buck?
Right. Yeah. No. It's interesting. I guess it also depends on what kind of contracts, deals they work out with writers and artists.
Yeah.
You know, because if I'm an independent, you know, like the guys from EMP or HB Comics.
Right.
And they go directly to Amazon and say, and pitch an idea to them.
Mm-hmm.
Say, we'll draw it up. We'll write it. We'll send you the digitals. You put it together and sell it. It could be an outlet for them and get them to obviously a much wider audience faster. So it could be good in that sense.
Right, right. And I think it seems like they might be doing some handpicked professional setups right now. But, you know, knowing how they have done with independent publishing for books, because there's a lot of independent writers who have skipped over, you know, traditional publishing avenues and just started publishing Kindle editions of books. Mm-hmm. And that's become sort of a thing. And potentially you could see the same if Amazon allows it, see some of these independents start publishing through Amazon as independents in that comic retail model. That could be pretty big.
Right. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, we didn't ask Eric that, but he publishes independently.
Yeah.
The Nightseeker books, and he sells them through Amazon.
Yeah. I did get the sense, though, from him that he prefers to sell direct, just
right.
because I think it works out better for him financially, because obviously I'd be surprised if Amazon wasn't taking a cut. That would be weird.
No,
but,
of course.
Everyone's got to take their cut. But yeah, I mean, with independents, you know, in any of those cases, I would imagine, you know, the benefit is the audience. So you're, you know, yeah, you might have to take a little bit of a hit off the, you know, off the cover price, you know, that you're handing out to Amazon. But A, it's probably better than most publishers are going to take. B, you know, because you're not printing, you don't really have to worry about that kind of overhead.
Right.
And I had a B, a C, but I can't remember what it is now.
Right, but I mean, the printing itself is a big overhead.
It is, and yeah, you're getting that a broad audience that you're getting your material out to.
Right, and actually, speaking of Eric and Nightseeker, I don't know if anyone saw on our Twitter feed, we got an update from him that everything is on track for Nightseeker 3 to be released sometime in August. So keep an eye out for that.
That reminds me, I still have to read 1 and 2.
Well, you better get busy.
I will.
All right, let's see.
I do actually have a bit of a movie piece that I wanted to bring up that's not on our discussion list.
Movies? Talk about movies on this podcast?
Occasionally.
Okay.
So along the Marvel line of things, I was reading something, and this can sort of turn into a bit of a discussion item. So I was reading a quick little interview with the actor whose name I can't remember, who plays the part of Bucky, a.k.a. Winter Soldier, in the next Captain America movie.
Right.
And they started asking questions about the hair, because he did grow his hair out for the role, so he has the longer hair for that, for the Winter Soldier part of it. And that's but all the you know, concept art prior to, you know, any actual production shots has had him that way as well. And so that question sort of came up, is like, what you know, first of all, did you feel like you had to do the hair? Did they force you to do that, or was there some sort of, you know, what's the idea behind that? And he grew it because he felt like it fit, but and there's ways in the story that it does. But what I found interesting from that, he said that he ended up talking to the comic book guys about the hair, and what I found a fascinating little reveal in that, and this is true both for when you see long hair on characters as well as capes, they serve a purpose. And it's not necessarily characterization. It serves a purpose of, you know, for action, for movement. It gives a sense of direction and magnitude of how they're moving or how wind is affecting them that you can't get without that. So that's why a lot of comic artists like to draw characters with longer hair so they can, or with a cape, so you can get that sense of movement.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I never actually thought about that. I mean, I'm sure I've heard something along those lines before, but I've never really thought about it. So that's actually an interesting fact. So it kind of explains why superheroes have capes.
Yeah.
Something we've talked about, but not really talked about on the show.
Right, but while obviously they're functionally questionable, they do serve a purpose as far as the illustration of the comics to help convey motion.
Right. So cool. Hey, you learned something new, listener. Now you know why Superman has a cape. It doesn't help him fly, so that the artist can show movement.
Right.
And the actor that you can't remember is Sebastian... Oh, shoot, I just lost it. Sebastian Stan.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yes, he played Bucky in the first one, and he's playing him again. It'll be interesting to see how they do that.
And actually one of the things that I found interesting with that interview, and again, it was a brief interview, but they asked him about, like, the characterization of Winter Soldier versus the characterization of Bucky Barnes. And he said that while obviously he didn't know if they were going to go that direction with the storyline, he was enough of a comic fan that he wanted to be prepared for that. So he purposely... You know, the role of Bucky in the first movie, he gave some interesting different dimensions to the character that could be played off of in the form of the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he wasn't just the generic sidekick.
Right. He wasn't flat. He had some personality to him.
Right.
And we're not going to see him, while he will be changed, it's not going to be a 180 kind of unrecognizable change.
Right. But actually, I'm interested in how they're going to do it, and the fact that now for those who know this, who don't know the character from the comic books, he was, the story is he was defrosted in Russia, brainwashed by the Soviets, became a Russian spy, and became an enemy of Captain America until Cap could unbrainwash him, and become his friend again. But
right, and part of the story of how he's still young and vital is they actually would put him on ice when he wasn't active. So basically he'd be frozen during times when he was dormant and not on an active mission.
Right, right. But the question is, you know, they try to make these movies relevant. I think Man of Steel is a great example of them trying to make characters relevant. And the Cold War has been over for quite some time now.
So true.
Having him as a Russian spy born out of the Cold War just isn't going to fit. So that's my question is...
Yeah, well, I've gotten, you know, news I've heard about Vladimir Putin. I think he wants it back from time to time. I get that impression.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's... Wait, that's delving into politics, but I'm sure a lot of that has to do with... You know,
we'll steer away from that right now.
Situations in Russia and cold things that were built out of the Cold War helped the economy on both sides. But anyway,
true. Well, war is an engine for technological advancement and many other things. So it's not unprecedented.
Speaking of war, back in World War II, when Captain America fought, he had a girlfriend. Remember?
Yes. Yeah, and she has a one-shot coming out with the Iron Man 3 DVD. I saw that.
Yeah, Agent Carter.
Agent Carter. And I saw a 30-second preview of it, and it looks awesome, and I can't wait to... I may end up buying Iron Man 3 just so I can watch that, even though it'll probably be on YouTube the next day.
Probably. You know, it's funny, because I'm looking at the photos from it right now that were on the article, and you know, she could have been Black Widow.
She probably could have. She definitely. And in that the brief part I saw of that, you know, she's quite the action hero herself.
Haley Atwell.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't want to. We're really bad with naming the show.
We really suck at names.
Please forgive us.
Right. We're not people.
And actually, you had left when we recorded the last episode. Have you listened to it yet, sir?
I did listen to it.
Okay.
Yes.
I would just want to take a slight divergence, talk about the contest. Just putting it out there, there's still plenty of time. Haven't gotten any answers yet.
At least as of when we're recording this.
As of when we're recording, this is only 2 days after we put it up, so.
So.
Or the next day after we put it up. But I also want to put out there that if you feel that the story is too vague, because I thought about it after we recorded it, let me know that, too.
I think it is adequately vague. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, but you know the story. You know the whole thing.
I do know the whole story.
Yes. So if you, the listener, thinks it's way too vague, and if I get enough people complaining that it's way too vague, I will start giving slight hints in the podcasts.
I have a better idea. Okay. Rather than doing hints, here's my suggestion. So we give it time for someone to actually legitimately guess. But I think we also encourage people to come up with interesting guests. And I think guesses, and I think you did promote that as well. And maybe we... If we get enough people actually submitting names, we can sort of trend which names are most popular. And that could be worth something as well.
Right. Like I said, at least the answer, like if no one gets the right answer, the one that makes me laugh the most, I think,
right,
would be the winner. But I just wanted to put that out there before I forgot. All right. So I think that covers all the news I had. Did you have anything...
I think that's all the items I had thought about.
Okay.
So I can't think of anything else right now.
So, one of the things question I had, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. We all love the Wolverine. We all love X-Men, Wolverine, and Hugh Jackman's portrayal of Wolverine. That being said, with Days of Future Past coming out, that will be, and the Wolverine, that will be six movies where Hugh Jackman has portrayed Wolverine. If you don't count,
if you don't count Days of Future Past.
No, not Days of Future Past. What was the one where, X-Men First Class.
Right. Well, so he was in, you know, if we count them up, he was in the first three X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Wolverine Origin movie, so that's four. He did have a brief cameo in First Class, so we can call that five. And he's in The Wolverine, which is coming out in theaters, you know, Friday, July 26th, which will have passed by the time we post this live. So that's six. And then he will also be in Days of Future Past, making that seven times he will be playing the same role with the same actor.
And which on one hand is great. It's awesome because
It doesn't even fit on one hand. That's two hands.
He obviously loves portraying the character. The fans love him as the character. He's done a great job. But at what point does he hang up the claws? You know. I don't know. I haven't really said this yet, but I'm a little leery about the Wolverine. I mean, some of the special effects look good. The Silver Samurai looks good, but you know, what was it? The last one, X-Men Origins Wolverine, left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, it looked good on the surface, but turned out not to be as good as it could have been.
Well, because of poor Deadpool. But
And honestly, I have to say, the one thing that was, I think Wolverine was good in that movie, it's everyone else that was questionable in that movie.
Right. But you also think you also have to look at, and again, this isn't anything against Hugh Jackman, but he's 44 now. And he's, you know, before you know it, he's going to really start showing his age. I don't know. True. I kind of think, in my opinion, that maybe, like, because I want to see Days of Future Past. You know, it's one of the best stories ever written. And it's been portrayed in the cartoons and so forth.
And which, ironically, he will be, quote-unquote, showing his age in that movie.
On purpose.
On purpose, yeah, because I think they gave him some gray highlights for that.
Yeah, actually, there have been some posters released, and they have like, they have like split screen, split faces where they have like the older face and the younger face.
Yeah,
and it's funny because with Magneto and Professor X, they have the two different actors. With Hugh Jackman, they just have him and then him with like old man makeup on the other side, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, but I find that a little weird, actually, because he's not playing both versions of him in the movie, or is he? I was under the impression he was only going to be playing the elder version, and the younger version wasn't going to be part of the storyline. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Let's see. Let's do that. Let us say X-Men Days of Future Past. Where is the cast? Hugh Jackman, Logan Wolverine...
that doesn't really tell you much though.
Yeah, no, but he's, you know, he's the only Wolverine in it. Now, that doesn't mean that doesn't mean he's not playing the young Wolverine. There just might not be a young Wolverine.
Right. But yeah, I'm just curious if there will be a duality for that role. I mean, obviously they will have both Charles Xavier's, they're going to have both versions of Magneto, paralleling each other, and possibly, I haven't seen clearly whether Beast is going to be duplicated or not. I don't know what Frasier's doing these days.
And also, Jennifer Lawrence as Mystique.
Are they going to have both versions of Mystique? I haven't gotten an impression about that either.
No, I don't think they are. Because if they go by the movie timeline, which is kind of messed up anyway, Mystique lost her powers at the end of...
That's true. That's true. So it wouldn't necessarily make sense for her to reprise that role.
Right. Just the young Mystique.
Right. So...
So anyway, so what I was getting at is you know, I kind of think he should use that as the capping point for this part of his career. I kind of think if he doesn't...
You think he should hang up the claws?
Hang up the claws after Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe. I think it depends on how the movie fares, how they portray the part. And if there's any... I'm going to hold my judgment until I see... At least until after I see The Wolverine. And see if how that fares, whether it was worthwhile, and whether it seems fitting to do any more along those lines.
That's fair. I'll give you that. And I pose the question to you, our listeners. Do you think Wolverine... Hugh Jackman is getting to the ending point of that part of his career. If you agree, let us know. If you don't agree, let us know.
Yeah, I would say yes. While he is actually, you know, obviously getting up there in age, he still looks good in the part. Like, I'll give him that much at least. He doesn't look like an older version of Wolverine than he was in, say, the first X-Men movie.
Right.
So.
All right.
But along the lines of X-Men, I did want to mention one thing. You were mentioning... in our last episode about Peter Dinklage playing the part of Bolivar Trask.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys did not talk very much about the fact that they have actually unveiled a design for the Sentinels, or at least for the Sentinel heads. And those have been posted online. So that is, I think, pretty exciting.
Oh, well, that must be an article that we missed. Interesting.
Apparently.
So...
But yeah, I'm pretty sure there was an IO9 article that showed a picture of the head, and I can look that up and make sure that gets posted on the Facebook page.
Cool. Yes, do that because I'm curious. I missed it, so I want to see. So post that link. Post it now.
I'm looking.
All right. Let's see. What else? Oh yeah. So, we should save the power ring discussion for when John's here.
Yeah, I think that's it. First of all, it's at least better. Works better with three people.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's a. We'll save that for another day.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, listeners, just so you know. Tonight is we're recording our first time where we're remote from each other via Skype. We're going to try this going forward a couple times so that it can...
Gives us a little more degrees of freedom in getting these recordings done than what we've been... how we've been tethering ourselves and putting ourselves behind the eight ball of recording the episode the night before we need to post it.
Right. So if there's... At this point, if there's any audio issues, maybe with the garbling, when two people try to talk at the same time, forgive it for now until we work our way around that. So anyway, we had talked before about talking about technology, or spotlighting products and whatnot. We've talked about video games on this and stuff, but I actually kind of, found this interesting, and I wanted to bring it up, and it's not comic book related at all, so if we lose you, I'm sorry, but the Galaxy Mega, have you heard about this phone yet?
I have not heard about it. I'm a fan of Samsung's Galaxy line. I've owned both their S2 and now their S3, and almost considered getting the S4, if I could have afforded it.
Right, and I have an S3 as well. They're quality phones. My wife has the S4. You know, I mean, they're definitely... Samsung has definitely put them in a position where they're saying, yes, we're competing with Apple, and they're putting out some really nice products. So what they're doing here is the Mega is a 6.3-inch HD screen.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, that's... it's basically the size of the Note. No, it's actually... No, it's bigger than the Note.
Yeah, I can almost say the Note is 5-point-something.
Right. It's bigger than the Note. The average tablet, you have, like, three different sizes, really two. There's 7, and then there's, like, 9 or 10.
Right.
So it's slightly smaller than your average tablet.
Right, so it essentially falls in that pseudo category they've started calling phablets, I've heard.
Right, and it's interesting, and I've kind of I've been pondering it just because I'm wondering more and more, is this a direction technology is going, and is this something that people want? Do you want a phone with a 6.3-inch screen? I understand the convenience of if you're out somewhere. In fact, my wife, before she got the S3, had the Note, mainly because if she was taking the kids somewhere and she was waiting for them to do something, like standardized testing, because they're homeschooled, so they have to do the standardized testing at a hotel,
right.
She'll drop them off, and then when she's waiting for them to get out when they're done, she'll watch HBO Go on her phone. So, you know, having a bigger screen was a nice thing and easier to watch. So I see the market in that kind of thing. But at the same time, you put this giant thing up to your head to talk on the phone.
Yeah, that is a little bit... although, I have to say that the extent to which I put my phone up to my head is very limited in this day and age. Whenever I can, I'll use a hands-free set of some sort for actual phone calls, and I don't make very many phone calls, which
yeah.
I think that's part of what's driven these to be acceptable and popular, is the fact that people can can see these things and get these, because they're not using them as phones, you know.
Right, and it's funny because the real appeal to me with this ties it back into comic books with like Comicsology, the Marvel Unlimited, or just even the Marvel regular store, the comics on the digital comics, it's the best of both worlds because I can read them on a tablet with a nice, I have a one with a 9-inch screen.
Yeah.
But it's just got Wi-Fi on it. So if I'm on the train and I want to download something new, like, ooh, I'm reading an article on my phone and like they're talking about the new issue, let's say, of Superior Spider-Man, I have to wait till I get home to download it, and read it. But now, if I have a 6.5-inch screen on my phone, I can download it right there and read it while I'm on the train. So I definitely see the appeal that way. I'm really, the article I saw just talks about the phone itself. There's no release date as of yet. But I definitely could see me buying something like this.
Yeah, I think the only thing that would give me reservation, and has to date given me some reservation with getting some of these bigger devices, is not so much the usage as a phone, but as the convenience of carrying. I mean, I don't carry a purse, although if it was more socially acceptable, I might. But I wonder actually if these types of devices will give rise to male purses to some degree. Because I don't have, I don't have pockets big enough to carry something like that, at least without looking like I'm compensating for something. So I just don't see, and that's where I keep my phone. I keep my phone in my pocket. So if my phone can't fit in my pocket, it's not a phone I'm likely to carry.
True. But again, I think also the appeal is to people like me who, you drive to work.
Yeah,
I take the train, I'm a commuter, so I read as well. And having a tablet or a book and my phone and blah, 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 where it's like, well, if it's just all in one.
Yeah, it's basically competing with e-readers to a degree. Because you can get the apps for your phone to be an e-reader, why not make the form factor big enough to compete?
Right.
So there's I can see the logic there.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, in all honesty, is when you're you know, using this thing as a phone, you're probably never going to put it to your face. You're going to use a Bluetooth or put it on speakerphone. You know, I find I do that 9 times out of 10 anymore.
Yeah.
Just because, too, you know, you hear all this, these stories that scare you about possibly getting brain cancer from the radiation from your mobile phones. It's like, well, okay, then I'll just put headphones in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the reason, it's not the primary reason, but it is part of the reason I tend not to use my phone next to my head, is because, you know, A, I can hear it better if I use headphones anyway, and B, I'm not irradiating my brain as often.
Just from the computer monitor you stare at.
Right, exactly. It's only in the front. I don't want to irradiate the sides, too.
We have to figure out how to get the back next.
Yeah. That's where the satellite uplink will attach to the back of a hat.
So. Yes. All right. So, now that we're done sidetracking there, really bad segue.
A little bit.
So the rant, you know, we don't have John here to do a rant, so I'm going to try to make up for it. And this is for you, Del Toro. Stop making monster movies and get to work on Hellboy 3.
I would be up for that. Although I have heard that Pacific Rim was pretty awesome, at least in the action category.
I've heard that too. Like, I've heard, don't go in expecting Shakespeare. Go in and expect a giant monster movie, and you'll really enjoy it.
I would say if you were satisfied with going in there and expecting Shakespeare, then there's a lot of people disappointed with that movie.
Probably.
I'm now picturing the Jaegers and the monsters, you know, reciting, you know, sonnets.
Well, what light through yonder ocean floor breaks the monster? Okay. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I mean, those who listen to the show regularly know we had
we did have Doug Jones on,
and
we professed our love to him as Abe Sapien.
Yes.
And we would definitely love to see more of that.
Yes, and we asked him, you know, how about all these rumors we keep hearing about Hellboy 3, and his response was, I keep hearing the same rumors. So, come on, Del Toro, get your act together. He had Perlman in what's the name of it? Rim.
In Pacific Rim.
Yeah. So you know, he should have brought Doug in and you know, had them all together, and then said, hey, on our downtime, let's tape Hellboy 3. Think that would have worked?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Come on. I think that would have been perfect.
Perhaps.
Oh, man. So, anyway. That's my rant. Make Hellboy 3 already, damn it.
Yeah.
His next movie is going to be based on a Japanese property, wasn't it?
Is it? I hadn't heard anything about what his next property was.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see. I have to look it up because it's going to bug me if I don't. You sing while I type.
Do, 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 do.
Let's see. Del Toro Shoes. No.
Guillermo Del Toro.
Guillermo.
That might help.
Ah, that would
not help. Benicio Del Toro.
Yes, that's the actor.
Yes.
Here we go. And let's just go to his wiki, because I'm sure it's on there. I love wiki. Wiki is our friend.
It can't come in handy.
No, it's not on here. Darn it, I'll have to, you know where it is. We all know where it is. That evil IMDb.
Yes.
Anything that's rumored gets thrown on here. Interesting. It's not on here either. So, I did hear a rumor that there was like another, kind of like, what's the one with the guys in the bird suits?
Oh, the, shoot, I can't think of what that's called. You're talking about the, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The, yeah, I cannot for the life of me remember what that's called.
Right, but it wasn't that, but it was another series like that in Japan that he wanted to bring over to the U.S. and do a movie on.
Yeah,
it's, oh, I love IMDb. So it has him rumored as executive producer on The Incredible Hulk.
TV show,
which, according to Marvel, they're not doing. So I don't know why that's
well,
still on here.
IMDb, you have to realize, is community supported. People, anyone can put anything up there. So it's not always accurate.
Yes. I don't know. Are they really doing this one, Kung Fu Panda 3?
It's hard to say. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people like those movies.
Yeah. I didn't see the second one, but it apparently was decent and well received. My kids liked it, but I missed it.
Well, as long as your kids liked it.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Because yes. They're the audience, not you, Ben.
Yes. But my kids also like Cars 2, and my wife said that was pretty horrible. So.
Oh, man. No, I actually, it's funny. I liked Cars 2 for the same reason I liked the twist in Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Cars 2 was not... It was not a sequel about the main character,
right.
Lightning McQueen. It was about Mater and him being a spy. It was a completely different movie than the second one.
Yeah.
It was a total, like, you weren't expecting that when you went into the theater. It was like,
right.
What the heck is going on here? Right, so I like twists like that, so I enjoyed it for that fact.
Yeah.
Same thing with, hey, here's the Mandarin. Or is he? So, yeah, we need more twists like that.
Sure.
All right. So, do you have anything you'd like to add to this episode, Benjamin?
I'll only add one more thing. You guys talked about the Superman thing the other day, and I unfortunately had to step out and was not able to contribute to it.
Yes,
so
right at that point.
I did just want to add my two cents to it. In that, I completely forgot what my two cents were. pause for a moment while I recollect my thoughts. All right. Here's my thinking on it. And we've discussed this in person as well. I think that I am concerned that to an extent they, might be jumping on this as the idea without a script. I see that as a concern, but at the same time, I'm sure that happens in a lot of cases. From a standpoint of how they present these movies, though, I don't see any better way to introduce Batman to the franchise. Because A, they can't wait for Justice League to introduce Batman, and B, no one will stomach another complete reboot of him. And I know we talked about the possibility of just doing a single one shot, you know, similar to the original 1989 Batman, which was not a origin story.
Right.
But I think that a Batman Superman movie would be a good way to introduce the character. But I think that they should not do that Dark Knight storyline. I think they need to come up with some other storyline for that movie to be successful.
Right. No, I agree with those points. And again, like I said in the other podcast, definitely no one wants another origin Batman story. Like, we really, like, please don't.
Yeah.
The only reason I would want one is that you can go back to them walking out of the Lone Ranger as his at the movie when his parents were shot, as opposed to going to see some weird play about bats. Really, that's one change. The Flatermouse, yeah. I just didn't like that that change. It's like, no. Lone Ranger, that's what inspired him to put the mask on. It makes sense.
Mm. Well, and that could actually be very relevant right now since they just made the Lone Ranger.
Exactly. Brilliant performance by Johnny Depp in that, by the way.
I still have to see that one. I know, I saw.
But yeah, no, I agree in the sense of, it's a good way to introduce him. But like when you watch that clip, it's all, it just feels like all hype, you know, like Batman and Superman are going to be in a movie together and you're all going to cream your pants. Like,
yeah, but you have to give them a little bit of a leeway there because it was Comic-Con. They couldn't go up there empty-handed, but they essentially were. They just came off of a successful launch of Man of Steel and didn't really have anything to present. So they, you know, they threw something up on the board to see if it stuck. So they didn't want to go out of there looking like Marvel had everything and they had nothing. So I think that's part of the reason why they bothered doing anything.
But couldn't they put the Wonder Woman logo up on the screen and say, we're going to concentrate on her next?
I'm sure we would have loved to see that, but maybe they hadn't had enough commitment to that yet. I know they already had commitment that they were definitely going to do a follow-up to Man of Steel.
Right.
And I think what they were saying with this is they are fairly confident that Batman will appear in it, but that's all they know at this point. So they were throwing out whatever information they knew. You know, if Comic-Con wasn't happening, we probably wouldn't have heard about this until further down the line when they had more details.
They could have talked about, you know, comic books.
Well, they probably did. That just didn't make the news that people heard out of it.
I know. It's just,
I'm sure there was discussions about, you know, what's next in the new 52 or whatever storylines they have going on right now.
Right. But I just don't want it to...
being that it is Comic-Con.
I don't want this to be a publicity stunt movie. I want it to be a well-written movie. There have been plenty of well-written Batman stories. And the thing is, we talked about this with the Man of Steel, that it was a little darker. You know, they made Superman a little more gritty and a little darker, a little more reality-based, however you want to put it. Uh-huh. And we kind of were saying, well, that's the setting up for him to be, hopefully in the next one, more of the Superman we know.
Yeah, seeing that transformation and have him become the, you know, more noble knight that we're used to him being, that would be good to see. And right. Again, I think that we talked about that in the Superman episode, yeah, at least my posit on that was that he, you know, that his origin story is not done, that he has some development yet to be seen.
Right, right. So. But given that, the side on that is, one of the great things about a Batman Superman story is the antithesis, the Dark Knight against the Big Blue Boy Scout. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batman will do whatever he has to do to win, and Superman's not like that.
Right.
But that doesn't feel like the Superman we saw in Man of Steel.
That's true, but I think they could actually drive that with that story. So perhaps you see Superman as he is right now, and if he ends up somehow ending up getting paired up with Batman in the struggle, you may see him start just in seeing, you know, it's sort of a mirror, you know, mm-hmm. If you're seeing something that, you know, in Batman that you don't want to see in yourself, you might start steering yourself away from that. So, you know, being paired up with him, you may see that drive Superman to be the more Boy Scoutish version of himself that we know him to be.
All right. I'll give you that. I will put that. I'm putting a thumbtack in it, I'm sacking it to my wall, and I'm going to remember that. So when the movie comes out, I'm going to go, you were either right or you were completely wrong.
I'm prepared for that.
Okay, you should be.
No middle ground.
No middle ground at all. No.
All right.
Well, there really can't be. Either right or wrong.
That's fair enough.
Half
right.
All right, We've been babbling for a little over an hour now.
Right. Everyone's gone to sleep.
And I have to get up. I'm the one who gets up early for work. So.
Yes. Nothing manageable needs, you know, for me happens before 9:30. So.
No.
But anyway, yeah, I think it's a good call to wrap up.
Yes, yes. It's easier to fill an hour with John, I think. Sorry.
Yes.
That was just an offhand comment. And right. It really only means anything between you and me.
Awkward pauses and sighs and...
and self-deprecation.
Yes.
That's what this episode was missing. Self-deprecation.
Yeah, that's true.
The only thing we had was... We had
some cross-deprecation, but not self-inflicted.
Right. You know, the only self-deprecation you have is knowing that John is at a Taylor Swift concert.
Yes, he forwarded us that self-deprecation.
Yes. Oh, John.
Telegraphed that one in for us.
All right, so on that note, boys and girls, as always, have a good night. And don't let your cape get caught in the door.
Hey everyone, you just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So, check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John, and you can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account, @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.